This is Gene Lance on the Workers' Beat Extra.
How do you read the news? How do you understand it? I think it's a pretty simple thing to do if you look at everything from the point of view of our class, working people, against their class, the bosses. Here's just a rundown of early news just from this week. Texas creates the most job. That was in the Dallas Morning News, thanks to Arcella Martin, who's, by the way, a new reporter who's done some really good stuff in favor of workers. Texas creates the most jobs. Can you think why? Well, sure. Lower wages, practically no guarantees on health, safety, or anything else that would protect workers. So, yeah, Texas creates the most jobs. That's how you understand that one. Delta Airlines is raising flight attendants' pay by 5%. Well, that sounds just grand, but why? It's because they see the American flight attendants and their president, Sarah Nelson, coming. In other words, yeah, companies raise wages without there being a union to make them do it, but they do it because the union is coming. The Federal Trade Commission on Tuesday banned non-compete agreements for most U.S. workers, a move that will affect an estimated 30 million employees bound by contracts that restrict workers from switching employers within their industry. I got that from the Washington Post. That is a great accomplishment of people who were appointed by the Biden administration. What happens with a lot of workers, especially tech workers, is that in order to get a job, they have to sign a non-compete agreement, which means that after they terminate that job or after they get terminated, then they will not take another job, similar job, with a competitor. Well, at last, that's been ruled illegal. Thank goodness. And of course, the industry bosses are howling to high heavens against it. It's the same kind of thing that the Biden administration has accomplished many times, and industry, or rather the bosses, have been very unhappy about it. Here's something. Millions more salaried workers will be eligible for overtime pay under the final Biden administration rule. I got that from CNN. Well, here's the problem. For a long, long time, salaried workers, as opposed to blue-collar hourly workers, have not been able to get overtime. There was a certain threshold of salary that they could make before this affected them. What it meant was that if the boss wanted salaried workers to work more than 40 hours a week without paying them overtime, even if it meant having them come over and wash his car or clean his house or something on weekends, the boss could get away with it because salaried workers, up to a certain amount of pay, those salary workers were not eligible, not covered under the Fair Labor Standards Act. In other words, they could work more than 40 hours, or they could be worked more than 40 hours without having to be paid overtime. So the Biden administration moved that up to a much higher level so that more and more people would be eligible for overtime pay. So I don't know what the number is now because I didn't read the article. I just read the headline. But now most salaried workers, in fact, millions more, according to the article, millions more will be eligible to get overtime pay. The bosses are really not going to like that. The Biden administration did it. Working people are going to love it. General Motors made $3 billion in the first quarter and expects their minimum profit in 2024 to go up to $12.5 million. Their minimum for last year was $12 million. So, or this is billion, not million. Their minimum to go up to $12.5 billion for 2024. The reason that's an important headline is because you can remember back 6 months ago, the General Motors executives were saying they could not possibly stand the UAW contract demands. They could not possibly implement what UAW said they wanted because it would make them go broke and make them have to shut down. They lied. This article came from the Detroit News and was reprinted in the Dallas Morning News. Tesla, which doesn't have any unions, saw their profits fall 55% in the first quarter. I think that's interesting, because if you're arguing that unions destroy companies, there's the evidence. General Motors, which has a strong union and a strong union contract, their profits went up. Tesla, which has no union, their profits went through the floor. Cadillac's Lyriq sales increased 495%. And you can get one, if you look it up, for $61,000. So what does that tell you? It tells you that in the auto market, expensive big cars are still selling like crazy, even when you compare them in the electric vehicle market. So Cadillac's big electric vehicle, the Lyriq, is increasing its sales tremendously. And others, Tesla, for example, are having problems. That's just a few of the things that I picked out for the news coming from the economic area. In the political area, violent crime is down in Dallas and the nation, according to statistics. I got that from the Dallas Morning News. It's important to working people to have violent crime go down. And that's something that's going to help the Biden campaign, by the way. Here's another one from the Dallas Morning News. Citywide, Dallas has lost 63 people to acts of violence in the first quarter of 2024. And one of the city council persons, Carolyn King Arnold, is trying to do something about it. That's worth noting. April is National Poverty Month. That's in the Dallas Morning News. And it's something of great concern to working people. General Patton, Attorney General Patton, does outrageous things almost every day, and he's almost always in the news in Texas. The appeals court refused to back his claim that he cannot be sued for ethics, because in addition to the criminal trials and everything else that goes against General Patton, he's also being sued for ethics and is being threatened with disbarment. But he said that he cannot be sued for ethics complaints, much like President Trump says that he can't be held responsible for his activities. The city of Dallas closed a building at 7800 Stemmons. And the article goes on to say that, you know, the building didn't meet the fire standards. But what the article doesn't say is that the Steelworkers Union was the one that brought this to the city council's attention. The Steelworkers Union, under no less a person than Lou Lucart of the Steelworkers and also of the Dallas AFL-CIO, defending their workers about having to work in an unsafe building, went to the city council, and that's how the building at 7800 Stemmons got closed. That's not in the article. So sometimes the news is about omissions as well as commissions. Students continue worldwide protests. Dozens of pro-Palestinian protesters were arrested at Yale. The New York University students were arrested. There's some other university, here it is, Cal Poly Humboldt in California. They barricaded themselves in a building. Columbia University is requiring many classes to be hybrids. In other words, people can stay home and do their classes online for the rest of the semester. In other words, there is a big outbreak of student protests, and many of them include getting arrested, and some of them include doing acts that would deliberately get them arrested, you know, like breaking a window or something like that. What do you get from that? Working people don't want to see their money spent over in the Middle East just for the purpose of persecuting Palestinians. A Starbucks challenge to the National Labor Relations Board's reinstatement of fired baristas will go before the Supreme Court on Tuesday. This is in the Washington Post. And in today's Washington Post, it says that it looks like the Supreme Court is going to rule in favor of Starbucks. That's a dirty shame, but it's kind of expected. This has not been a kind Supreme Court for working people, nor has it been a kind judiciary system in general since the Trump administration. White House calls on pension funds to adopt stronger labor standards. That's in the Washington Post. This is a very, very good thing for working people because pension funds have trillions of dollars to invest. And if they have high labor standards, that would have a profound effect on the economy of the United States. In other words, fewer corporations would be able to get investment if they are anti-labor, if they do things against workers. So that's a very good thing that's coming out of the White House today. The pandemic cost 7 million lives, but talks to prevent a repeat stall. That's in the Washington Post. Working folks are not going to like another pandemic if we don't make proper preparations to make sure that we don't have something horrible like that again. And you may recall that back when the last pandemic started, there was a lot of argument about certain preparations that were made under the Obama administration and then canceled under the Trump administration, so that the pandemic was an awful lot worse. And according to the Washington Post, we're back in that same situation and we're not able to get the stuff that we really need. A high-speed rail has been approved between Las Vegas and California. What's interesting about that from the Washington Post? Here's one reason that I'm particularly interested in it. It's because of the aerospace industry. The aerospace industry is linked with American defense. Military work and aerospace are almost the same industry. But if aerospace wanted to create something that would really help in the United States, instead of building bombers and bombs and missiles, they could be building speedy trains. And it would be in line with the kinds of things that they do already, because those trains are light and they are largely built from aluminum or other light materials. So the aerospace industry could turn to making fast trains, and that would be a good thing for them, and it would be a good thing for the country, and it'd be a good thing for those other countries that are getting bombed all the time. That's why I think that's interesting. If you look at all the news from the point of view of working families and against the bosses, then you understand what's going on. That's just some of the news, just the first couple of days of this week. I understand the news because everything I look at comes through the lens of what's good for working families, what's bad for the bosses. It's a good way to read the news, and I encourage you to do it.
This is Gene Lance on the Workers Beat Extra.